It's your daily dose of Donna. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, March 21st, and we've got a full deck of news. We've got arrests. We've got breakups. We've got friendship enders. We've got people fired from TV shows. We have DUIs. We have so much going on in the reality TV landscape. And I got a really interesting DM about where Kate Middleton is. Let's get into it on today's Daily Dose of Donna. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. If you guys noticed, the first line in my show notes below is subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna. I had a mission that I kind of like dropped off on in the middle of the month to get to 15,000 YouTube subscribers by the end of March. Well, we have a little bit of a situation because it's Thursday, March 21st. So that means I only have technically, I think, 9 more days of March because Easter is on March. I know it's the last day of the month, but I can't remember. Is it okay? 31st. So I have 10 days, 10 days to gain like over 400 subscribers. This is a big, big feat. And the first way I can do that is ask that you guys just make sure you're subscribed. Okay. Thank you so much. I had to put that out there. And if you're listening to the podcast app on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, which so many of you guys do every day, I still know you're there. I'm not just talking to YouTube. So if you haven't already followed the show and leave a 5-star rating and review, you don't understand how much those things matter for discoverability for in all platforms, right? On Spotify, you want to be like recommended, and that helps when you get reviews, when you get 5 stars, when you get subscribed on or like the thumbs up on YouTube. So make sure to do that, y'all. And today I'm going to be posting on Patreon a new episode, and I want to schedule my next YouTube only for Patreon. So let's do that next week. I love doing my Patreon only YouTube. So those of you that are subscribers, you can do it that way. Welcome to the show for everyone that is new here. I was concerned yesterday because I left the show and I said, oh my gosh, we had the Valley MVPR on Tuesday night, but Wednesdays are completely empty now. What are we watching on Wednesday nights on Bravo? There's nothing, right? Like Beverly Hills is over. Erica Jane's one night event is over. Real Housewives of Miami is over. So is anything on Wednesday nights? I didn't watch anything on Bravo, but you know what I did watch? And thank you to the doser that wrote in the Facebook group about this new show on Apple TV, and it's called Palm Royale. And when I tell you, I thoroughly enjoyed the pilot episode. I watched one episode. It stars Kristen Wiig, Leslie Bibb, a whole host of other people, Laura Dern. I can't think of everyone off the top of my head. It is such a great show. The costumes, the wardrobe. Oh, Ricky Martin is in it, in a strange turn of events. I actually was texting with a couple friends last night, and I said, who knew that Ricky Martin was going to get back on TV, like, or get on TV? I can't remember watching Ricky Martin as an actor. And they said, did he just have one big hit song? And I was like, hello, he was in Menudo. Those of you that know, you know, Josh Lucas. Yes, Josh Lucas was on Watch What Happens Live last night. I did not watch the episode, but I mean, Ricky Martin looks fantastic. Josh Lucas looks amazing. Kristen Wiig looks stunning, stunning. And an interesting story about Kristen Wiig. And I didn't find this out until later, but I knew her surrogate. And she kept it super hush hush. I mean, we only put it together. I never actually got even confirmed that it was her. But Kristen Wiig had, I believe, a set of twins by surrogate like 3 years ago, maybe now, maybe even more. And I didn't know. I mean, I knew that this person was a surrogate, but I didn't know for who until after. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Oh my gosh, you guys. Yeah, I want to talk about Lala and Ariana today. I want and her episode on Jeff Lewis yesterday. She opened up about, you know, her journey, of course, and then about what happened at the reunion with Ariana. Like, we have so much to talk about. But Palm Royale is on Apple TV. Apple TV is one of those things that, or is it Apple TV Plus? I can't remember what they call it. But Apple TV is one of those things that I kind of forget until, you know, the morning show or a show comes on. But every time I go to Apple TV on my Apple TV, it's like, I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. Like, what language is this that we're speaking when we come to like these conversations about TV? But every time I go to the Apple TV home screen, I'm always seeing really interesting looking shows and programs. I really have turned into my grandparents. I will never forget. Probably about 10 years ago, maybe even more, I was hanging out with Lance. Somehow we come up with this conversation about TV. And it must have been more than 10 years. And he said, mark my words, the future of TV will be internet. And I was like, you're crazy. What are you talking about? There's absolutely no way that you are, going to have an internet-based TV system. But I didn't put it together because I just imagined when he said internet, I imagined a laptop. Like, you only could watch TV on your computer. I didn't recognize the idea of a computer being like your TV. And now, I mean, really, how much do we watch, you know, Channel 2, Channel 4, Channel 7, unless it's like the Oscars? I really don't turn on those channels ever. Local news, maybe. I don't even watch local news. So it is really, it's an interesting thing. This technology. I heard on someone's podcast, Dr. Phil was a guest. This is the most random little clip that I remember hearing, but it was an interesting podcast. And they said that in the next 10 years of technology, we're going to be moving as fast as the last 400 years of technology, meaning in 400 years, we've created so much like innovation and change. And the next 10 years, we're going to match that. And my personal feeling is I'm scared. That doesn't feel with AI and with everything, and this can go into the Princess Kate of it all. There's so many things that are not to be trusted. We're coming up onto election season. Everything can be created. Like right now, someone can create a video of Timothy Chalamet on Daily Dose of Donna. Like, it's not, anyone can create anything. And like, yeah, you can be very discerning and look and, you know, editing and stuff. But I think there should be some sort of a warning online for anything that is AI created on Instagram, just say, or on TikTok or YouTube or whatever. If it's AI created, there needs to be a warning. This was created using artificial intelligence, right? And then wouldn't that be funny if while you guys are watching me right now and me saying it, like a big warning sign comes up and says like, Donna's not real. I am a robot. Remember that movie? You guys will help me. It was a movie, I want to say it was Scarlett Johansson was the voice and she was a robot. And like the man fell in love with her and they had like this relationship and I can't remember what her name was or what that movie was. But what's interesting about that, I saw an article the other day about this man. I want to say he was in Japan or something and he was in love with a woman that he created like on a software platform. She's basically a video game creator, avatar. Oh, the movie was called Her. Thank you so much. And he fell in love with this woman, an avatar, and then got married to her, like actually had a marriage ceremony to a video game avatar. And then I got so sad because I realized that the article was basically saying that the software got canceled and he no longer has access and like he'll never see his wife again. And to be honest, like I know this seems insane. But I actually felt for him. I was like, he fell in love with that avatar and now he's like gone. Like it's gone. It's gone forever. Forever. Wow. I will never fall in love with an avatar. I'll just fall in love with Craig Conover. Did you guys see Craig Conover on his Instagram today? Now, when I tell you this man can do no wrong, cutest collaboration ever. In celebration of World Down Syndrome Day, he has partnered up with, and I don't want to get her her Instagram name wrong, so let me just make sure and pull it up. He has partnered with this woman who is she has Down syndrome. Her name is Trista the Barista on Instagram. She has 51,000 followers. This girl's like killing it. But she is doing some collaboration with Craig, and he posted celebrating triple 21s today, which is basically, you know, the chromosomes. And it's all about World Down Syndrome Day and Down Syndrome Awareness. And basically the reason why he connected with her is because he basically says, how many more times can I say the word basically? Drink every time I say basically. He actually says, you know, they didn't think I could do it. And she's like, they didn't think I could do it. And they ended up, to, you know, kind of connecting over this. He is the number one guy on Bravo. No question. Paige DeSorbo. Let me tell you. Clone yourself and move to you know, where do they, where do they feel? Charleston? Like, you gotta hold on to Craig. If you lose Craig, Paige, like, this is going to be something you'll never get back. Craig is the, to me, Craig is the trophy winner on Bravo. Like, you can't get better than that, in my opinion, unless he has some crazy sordid past that we have not figured out. But I feel like there's so many detectives out there in the internet landscape that I feel like we would know. We would know if he had some crazy skeletons in the closet, don't you think? And I actually really trust Paige's opinions. I do. I feel like she has a good discerning, like, Paige can suss you out. Paige is a perfect person to find Kate Middleton, in my opinion. I feel like if you're walking through life with Paige, she'll meet someone in 5 seconds, she'll be like, I don't trust him because he, you know, has this in his search history. I love Paige. I used to not like her as much. And now I think Craig has made me like her more. Right? Okay. So many topics to get into, and we will get into them right now. So without further ado, let's get into our stories brought to you by ZipRecruiter, because daylight savings just passed and we have what feels like an extra hour every day. But the truth is, even though it feels like we have an extra hour, we don't. And if you just say our you know, obsessed with sewing and pillows, and you're trying to get a job working with Craig and sewing down south, like, this may be the right move for you. Make sure your resumes are up on ZipRecruiter, because ZipRecruiter works around the clock to find qualified candidates for you and match you with a qualified employer. So spring forward with a new hiring partner, ZipRecruiter, and find top talent sooner. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Donna, D-A-N-A. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Donna. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. So unfortunately, it looks to me like Anna Marie from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills will need to get on ZipRecruiter as well to find herself a new job, because Anna Marie has been let go from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Now, I don't believe anyone is shocked by this. I'm actually disappointed. And I know this is kind of weird considering the fact that I truly, really did not find her appealing on the show whatsoever. However, and this doesn't happen often, her after show personality, her interviews that she did, and her approach on the reunion, those moments actually really made me see her in a different light. And I feel for her that she wasn't invited back. And I know that that sounds strange. I want to read to you, and I'll share this with you guys here. I want to read to you exactly what she wrote to announce that she wasn't asked back. She says, I just got word today that I will not be returning to The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. To say that I'm disappointed is an understatement. I never auditioned for the show. The show found me and asked me to be on it out of the blue 6 weeks after the cast had already started filming. I was thrown into filming 2 weeks later, mid-season. I was very excited about the opportunity, and I thought following exactly what I was instructed to do throughout filming last season was the way the game was played. Listening to what I was instructed to do was my rookie mistake. What I am disappointed about is that the fans never got to see me, the real me, or even a glimpse of my unique life story. Contrary to what was shown on TV, I am not obsessed with the esophagus, LOL. What I am is a woman, a proud Black woman who is truly blessed with a wonderful, strong Black man as my husband, who lifts me and our four wonderful children up with so much love and positivity on a daily. It was an important mission of mine for the next season to show a solid Black family unit and that true Black love exists, even in Beverly Hills. My struggle with losing my mother to lung cancer within weeks of taping and my struggle with adoption trauma and what was going to be and still will be a new life journey for me to find my biological parents, all of which was taped but never shown last season, among other things. To the fans that saw past what was portrayed and saw the real me, thank you so much for the love and support. I wish all the ladies good luck on the next season. And it goes on and goes on until we meet again. Thank you, Anna Marie. Bravo Andy commented a heart and a clapping emoji. To me, I will say, here's the thing. Okay. I do believe editing makes a huge difference on these shows because I've heard first person, but also seen first person people getting the most horrible edit ever. However, this, I wish she would have come back solely for her own ability to kind of like redeem herself. But I'm not dying to see Anna Marie on my TV anymore. I think there's so many incredible people that you can highlight here in the city of Los Angeles. Like, we're not talking about a small town where you can't find a lot of people. So I'm not dying to see her again. I do feel bad for her. Cause can you imagine being the Diana Jenkins or the Anna Marie Wiley, or I can't think of, like Peggy from the OC season, or I don't even want to put it on Ebony, but maybe like an Ebony, like those one hit wonders that took down a show and just like really did not better it in any capacity whatsoever. I feel like there's a few of those throughout, you know, different shows. And it sucks to be like that one person that you're, you know, the Carltons or the, was her name Julie or something? The girl that had the eating disorder on New York and put the fork in her pizza and Bethany just like ripped her a new one. Bethany's coming up in just a minute. I have something to say about her. So I don't know. For me, I think that, Noelle. Do you remember Noelle? Like, there's some really bad ones. If you go back through the list, Jules was her name. Monica was a great one hit wonder. Like, Monica on Salt Lake City is the most shocking not coming back one. But Anna Marie, it makes sense that she didn't come back. I think it would have been a very boring choice to bring her back. It would have just been this need to redeem herself. And I feel like she would have almost tried too hard. It's like they got great footage and they didn't use it for a reason. Season one, it also feels a little like even just that approach to her being let go felt like very wordy and a lot. You know, I'm a Black woman married to a Black man. I want to show a good Black family and Black families exist. And it's like, it's a little too much trying to, you know, create a, it's almost like yelling out at some sort of feeling left out, like a minority shouldn't have been left off the show. Which I agree. I mean, I would love to have Real Housewives of Beverly Hills even more diverse, but we have Garcelle, we have Crystal still on the show. As far as I know, Crystal's not going anywhere. I haven't heard the opposite. And I'd be interested. I mean, I do like to see people redeem themselves because I feel bad if she actually really isn't that horrible person. But she chose to talk about that esophagus. And I know that she's going to blame it on producers, which she has, it sounds like. And she should be also blaming it on Kyle. And the reason I feel about this is because Kyle, she walked into that dinner party as her first entrance. That was her first time filming for the show, as far as we know, right? And she says it was 6 weeks after they started filming. So something was happening on that cast where they felt like they weren't getting enough. And that's why they brought in Anna Marie. I don't know what, I don't know why, but maybe Kyle felt like, I need someone in my corner. That's probably what happened. If I'm going to like predict why or guess why Anna Marie got added to the cast, I think they were shooting for 6 weeks. And what was happening was like that Pretty Woman time, right? Where Kyle was helping Dorit with the Pretty Woman. And Dorit was questioning a lot of things about Mauricio. And then Sutton started to question a lot of things about her marriage. And I think in that moment, Kyle probably, and this is totally like a guess, but I think in that moment, Kyle went to Alex Baskin, the producers, all of the people behind the scenes and said, listen, I'm not doing this. I'm not going to be, you know, essentially like ganged up on by the rest of these women. I need someone. I won't continue to shoot the show in this moment because I feel very backed in a corner. So I need to bring in someone that like I know and trust. And that's why I think she brought on Anna Marie. And I don't believe that Anna Marie, if she didn't have to audition for the show, which is bananas considering the fact that like she's not some crazy big star, right? She didn't have to, you know, audition after the show. And she didn't have to go to, like, she didn't have to go through the motions of trying to get on the show, but she just got asked to be on the show 6 weeks in. It's giving Kyle saying, I need someone and here's your three choices. What do you guys think? That's kind of what my feelings are on that. And I could be wrong, but that's it. It's a little strange to be asked 6 weeks into filming unless you're some big ass star, which she obviously wasn't. So interesting. I'm very okay with her not returning. And I'm very curious to see what's going to happen with Dorit next season. My guess is Dorit is staying on as a full-time cast member. I think everyone else is staying. Because why is the only one that doesn't know or that has released this is Anna Marie. Now, I'm getting a lot of questions in the comments about Teddy. Is Teddy coming back? Is Teddy coming back? So I don't personally know, but I'm going to be doing some research. I just sent a text. Okay, Andrew, I'm with you. I predict Teddy is coming back. I have some weird feeling too. And I'm telling you, I have no insider information whatsoever. This was based on my conversation with Ryan Bailey a few weeks back, and it just makes so much sense. But I don't think Teddy's coming back as a friend. I think if Teddy is coming back, she's coming back as a regular. Okay, let's move on to the next story. Larsa and Marcus, to no one's surprise, have also broken up again. Is this shocking to anyone? I don't think so. I don't think so. But, you know, their relationship was clearly, obviously, sounds to me like an up and down relationship in the last few months, obviously since Super Bowl. If you're going to get into a relationship where you're so, I'm sorry, I'm going to say it, immature, that within one day you go from being boyfriend and girlfriend, obsessed with each other, have a podcast together, basically live together, throw parties together when you're apart for 2 days, to unfollowing each other on social media. And then like writing cryptic things about each other on your stories. And this is going back to the day of the Super Bowl. I'm going to tell you, your relationship is probably going to end pretty soon. Like, I don't think a relationship like that is going to survive the future ups and downs. To me, it just doesn't seem like it. But she is now officially broken up and she just came back on Instagram, reintroduced herself on Instagram and captioned it, allow me to introduce myself. And in this photo, not like anyone's asked, she's wearing a $1,700 Versace corset. Just, you know, on a random Wednesday. I mean, as you do, right? I don't know about you guys, but like I do. I totally, this jacket that I'm wearing, this sweater that I'm wearing, it's $5,000 from Target. Anyway, if you don't know my sarcasm, no. So lots of housewives showed their support. Tamara wrote, love you, sis. Portia and Erica Jane also wrote comments and hearts. Yeah, I mean, they split 1 month after getting back together, and apparently they have unfollowed each other again, but hopefully they remain on good terms. It says Larsa just really wants to focus on herself. The relationship felt all-consuming. I have a feeling that was probably because of Larsa, but who knows? Look, I'm not shocked and I'm not sad. I'm just like reporting the news. I don't think anyone feels like it's a travesty or tragedy or anything like serious, right? I think you guys are all with me. Joe says it's a business arrangement. After the first breakup, Larsa extended the contract so she won't have to explain herself during the Traitors season 2 reunion filming. You know what was interesting I noticed during the Traitors season 2 reunion? Andy Cohen asked them, because it was the first time they had been seen together basically in public, like on a show, since that breakup around Super Bowl. And Andy asked them very specifically, like, so what happened? And did you notice Marcus like took over that answer? I found that really telling. Like, to me, Larsa's the star and Marcus is the plus one. And I don't know if you guys feel that way, but yes, his dad is a celebrity and a huge NBA athlete, but Marcus himself is not. He's not following in his dad's footsteps. It's not like LeBron James and LeBron's son, who's also a crazy, amazing player. Like, he's literally just an athlete's son who has, you know, a startup fashion designing company. Like, I'm so confused by it, but he took over that answer. I don't know if you guys felt it, but he was like, we just went through a little thing, but we're fine. And she just kind of had to sit there through it. I really wonder what their dynamic was behind the scenes. But who cares? Anyway, let's move on to the next story. Christine Quinn's husband. Talk about a problematic issue. This is a crazy story. Christine Quinn, her husband got arrested yesterday, and I broke it live here. Remember right when it was happening or right when it was reported, and the craziest photos that, like, how could you ever live those down are him walking down the driveway in his robe with no shoes on. I did get some comments on YouTube that I thought were interesting. One being that sometimes when there's like a resisting of arrest, they just basically pull you out. And they're not letting you, you know, go and put your shoes on because you're not cooperating with the officers. If that's the case, that makes sense. That's the only thing that makes sense to me. Like, or he was just completely hammered or under the influence, but we didn't see anything like that. All we saw was that he was arrested for assault with what they called a deadly weapon. It was a bag with a glass bottle inside. The way my brain works when I hear that is it's like, I imagine like a Whole Foods bag with a bottle of whether it's like alcohol, wine, sparkling water. I don't know. That's kind of, or vinegar. Who knows? That's like what I saw when I imagined a bag with a glass bottle inside. Regardless, the fact that you're throwing a glass bottle at your wife is psycho, number one. But the fact that you're doing that in any sort of capacity where it could hit your 2-year-old son, which it did, now we've got like a major problem. And so if Christine doesn't immediately run away from this man, I don't even know what to say. But what's crazy about it is that not only did he get arrested, which we saw within 33 hours after that domestic violence incident, he was arrested again for misdemeanor charges for returning to their home. So basically, he got arrested on Tuesday afternoon. She put a restraining order in place. He came home on Wednesday. Can you imagine? And then he was released on bond Thursday morning, and now he has a court date set. So this guy either is completely under the influence, or either that and or just like so, like, what's the word? So egotistical, arrogant, above the law, that he feels like he doesn't have anything to worry about. I don't know. I am not feeling it. There's something about the picture of him in the robe with the big wall and the, you know, driveway that goes up. It's giving, I don't know why I keep going here in my brain, but every time I see that picture, it's giving like Brittany Murphy and her husband. And I don't know why, but Brittany, do you guys remember the story of Brittany Murphy? And not that I'm saying Christine is like Brittany, but it's giving Brittany Murphy's husband to me, just like this disgusting, gross guy in a very expensive Hollywood Hills home who's just like treating her horribly. And maybe that's not the case. Jen says, luckily Christine wasn't home. She probably maybe, you know, is staying with friends or family, didn't feel safe to be at home. But then she saw it probably on her Ring cam what had happened. But wow, just awful. Okay. So I guess today's the day that you can look and just be like grateful that you're not married to him. Right. Okay. Let's move on to the next story. And this one is brought to you actually by Dr. Motion Socks. So y'all, I've been telling you about these socks and you're about to get a foot moment, but they're in socks. So I hope you're okay with that. I'm specifically still wearing my workout gear because all I did was weightlifting today and I didn't sweat or get like all gross. So I just did a little zhuzh and I'm planning on like walking a little bit later. I'm trying to get more steps in my day. So I'm still wearing my workout gear and I put on my compression socks from Dr. Motion Socks today. So here you go. Are you guys ready? Da-na-na-na-na, da-na-na-na. Do you see how it's like a knee-high situation? Now, never did I think that I was going to be the haters are going to love this one. Never did I think that I was going to be lifting my legs on my YouTube. But I want you guys to see socks. And how do you show socks properly if not on your own feet? So these are my compression knee highs. They are so cozy, so comfy. And honestly, if I was wearing a little skirt, they'd be really hot. I'm wearing them over pants, but they're so cute. And DrMotionSocks.com is the best place to get any sort of compression tights, leggings, socks. They have all different sizes, all different styles, and all different colors. Head over to DrMotionSocks.com and check them out for working out. If you're on your feet a lot, if you're traveling a lot, if you're struggling with diabetes or any sort of inflammation circulation issues, if you're pregnant, if you're a nurse, those are all great reasons to wear compression socks. Or you just are like me and you're, you know, doing a YouTube. Okay. Let's move on. Thank you, Dr. Motion Socks. Let's move on to our next story. And that is, I want to talk about Bethany really fast. Bethany had a Instagram reel that popped up on my feed yesterday. And I'm going to agree with Bethany on this one. So Bethany, Michelle said saying programs and showing off your compression socks. I love the journey for you. Yeah. Next thing you know, I'm watching Jeopardy every night at 7 with my readers. I've literally gone from 42 to 92 in the last hour. So Bethany is in Australia right now with her daughter, with Peanut. And her daughter Bryn is in her teens. I don't know exactly how old she is. I'm guessing like 13-ish. Maybe 14, she's got braces, but she's definitely a teenager, a youngish teenager. And it seems to me that they have a really good relationship. I don't know. Obviously, we're not there. No one knows really what any relationship is when you're not in the home and behind closed doors. And of course, all we're seeing is when Bethany's turning on her phone, which we don't know what we're seeing. But I do believe in my heart that they have a decent relationship. Bethany went off on her Instagram yesterday because I guess some people were talking crap about her daughter's clothing choices. And here's where I do agree with Bethany. Bethany says in this Instagram post, you know, number one, it's very, very, it's an aggressive Instagram reel. She talks majorly like she curses a lot and she's very angry in it. So I'm not going to play it for you guys. But she is incredibly angry and very protective. And she says, come after me over my choices, over my food, over what I wear, over what I say. Come after me every day, no problem. But if you go after my daughter, I will cut a bee. I will F you up. I will come after you. I mean, she gets so angry and triggered. And as a mom myself, this is something I can really relate to her for. I think it's tough. She's putting her daughter in the limelight by choice, right? She's, her daughter is like part of her stories in terms of like the, you know, let's show them what we're wearing. So the other day, because then I started doing a deep dive on all her videos from when she's in, from when she's in Australia. And basically she's doing this whole, you know, Brynn, tell them what you're wearing. And Brynn's like, I'm wearing a Brandy Glanville shirt and a Brandy jacket. And, you know, she's just like such a normal kid, it feels like. But Bethany is specifically putting her daughter Brynn on the stage in the limelight. She's tagging her. She's setting her up to be an influencer of some sort. And that to me is where you get like the challenge, because every single time I put my kids on my stories or my Instagram and I have such a small, tiny, tiny audience compared to Bethany, I'm running that risk as well. Like I'm just waiting for the day that someone says something really judgmental or critical of like one of my sons or how he chooses to dress or maybe his love of, you know, theater or whatever. Like I just am ready for it. I know it's going to come at some point. But there is something that happens when you're a parent. And I don't know if men feel the same way. I just know my own experience as a mom that I literally like say anything to me. Say anything to me, but if you bring in my kids, I will physically, like it's over. It's over, right? And that's why on these housewife shows, sometimes when the kids get brought up, like with Gina and Shannon, remember over on Housewife when Gina's like, what are my kids' names, Shannon? Shannon, you don't even know my kids' names. What are the names? Don't you bring up my kids. Don't. And I get that. I would never go after someone's kids, ever. So the fact that there's people out there that think that they have a right to go after Brynn, I can go after Bethany's parenting of Brynn. Anyone can go after that, I think. But if you're going after the specific girl and, you know, maybe something she's wearing, something she said, something, some way she looks or whatever, that to me is just absolutely not okay. That being said, Bethany, like, maybe remove Brynn from a lot of your content, because Bethany's whole goal in life is to start shit. Like, I truly believe that Bethany's goal is she likes people talking about her, and she knows that people are talking about her when it's not necessarily good. I saw a clip on my TikTok the other day, and someone had posted a video of Bethany's talk show, which I never watched. I don't know if you guys watched her talk show. It was never something that was of interest of me. Talk shows just are kind of boring to me. And she was talking to Ellen DeGeneres on, you know, via video. And she asked Ellen about Miley Cyrus. And I guess this was at a time when Miley was very controversial. Like this is probably 2017, 18. I don't even know. She was so incredibly, you know, controversial at that time. And she was asking Ellen, like, how did you feel about bringing Miley on your show, considering she was so controversial? And Ellen was like, you know, just standing up for the decision. And then Bethany said something interesting. Well, at least they're talking about her still, even though she's so controversial. And that's truly what Bethany hopes people talk about her. And she knows they will not talk about her if she's just being like a sweet, nice person. They talk about her when she starts her shit, right? When she starts the drama, when she starts the fights, when she talks about her reality reckoning, when she does any of that stuff. And, you know, okay, so Lily's saying nobody went after Brynn. They said she was an inappropriate parent to post. So basically she went to Australia and she found this waffle that was in the shape of a penis. And it was like a rainbow colored waffle. And they said that she was an inappropriate parent to post that picture when she was with her daughter. But I don't actually think that that's the thing. She was talking specifically about someone going after her for her daughter's clothing. So I think you're talking about two different things. I think Bethany is okay and expected that if you're posting a picture of a waffle in a shape of a penis, you're going to get some comments about it. And also, by the way, like, I'm sorry. You really think a 13, 14-year-old girl can't handle like seeing a waffle in the shape of a penis? Like, I don't know. Maybe that's just, I don't know. I'm not like so triggered by that. I also feel like, you know, that's just like real life. Like, I don't want to shield my kids from ever seeing a boob. Like, if there was like a pancake in the shape of a boob, I wouldn't be like, don't look, it's a boob. I don't know. I just think Bethany likes pushing buttons. She likes pushing the boundary, right? She wants people to get triggered. So this was really interesting to see her jump down people's throats. But she said something along the lines of like, being a mother is my most cherished, my most important job ever. And the one thing you can't say is that like, I'm not good at that. And also, you know, you cannot talk badly about my daughter. It made me respect her a little bit more. I'm just going to say, and as long as she doesn't talk about the Reality Reckoning and Leah McSweeney, I'm good with Bethany right now. I hope we don't ever hear back from Leah McSweeney. I hope that just goes nice and away, just gets pushed under the rug because I'm done with that storyline. Anyway, go check Bethany's reel out. It also makes me want to go to Australia so bad. I know so many of you Aussies watch my show. It's like all I want to do is go to Australia. But I also want to do it the way Bethany did, which was on an Emirates first class ticket. Like, how do we get there? Did you see that video? Then I started watching her video of her flying to Australia. And I'm like, that I would just fly. I would be, what's her name's husband? What was her name on Roni? Jessel's husband. I would just be Jessel's husband if I could fly first class Emirates. Like, it looks like a dream. There's a bed, there's a shower spa situation. Dream. Caviar on your eggs. No problem. No problem. Okay, let's move on to the next story. Karen Huger has gotten a DUI. I'm going to say this really quickly because of one of my incredible listeners. I got the breaking news. I should have posted it on my story, on my feed. I posted it in my story, but actually TMZ didn't even have it reported until after I posted it. They didn't get it from me, but one of my listeners is in the area and she said that there's a website that you can go and you can find public records. And she sent me a DM. I was at my son's baseball game at around like, it was probably like 5-ish PM Pacific time. And she was like, they have, she got a DUI. And I was so surprised by this because what happened was she first came out with this big apology. And I don't know if you guys heard about her apology, but she didn't mention anything about the DUI. She basically comes out and she says something along the lines of, you know, it was a very emotional night. Mother's Day is coming up and I was talking about my mother. I was bawling trying to drive home and I swerved to avoid a car coming directly at me. But she never said anything along the lines of, you know, it being alcohol related. She just left that out. And I wonder if she was kind of hoping that maybe if we don't say anything or like she doesn't say anything, no one will know. But I think people are smarter than that. People are going to start to wonder, you know, what was the citation for? She mentioned that she did get citations for something else. She struck a median and a crosswalk sign at an intersection before continuing on and colliding with a parking sign off the roadway. The car itself was badly damaged, but she was doing fine after the accident. And she apparently was like basically totaled her 2017 Maserati in an aggressive manner. When she came back, she did say, you know, I was just in a really emotional state and I so apologize. What I didn't like about this apology before even seeing the alcohol related incident was that she's basically saying, you know, grief comes and goes. Mother's Day, it's been really, really tough. Understand your emotional state when driving. May this be a reminder to use all seatbelts. The seatbelt saved my life. This and this and that. To me, two things can be true. you can, like, I've cried when I've driven before. I've been very sad when I've driven my car all the time, but I don't understand how you can blame Mother's Day, which is not even for another, I think Mother's Day is in May. It's usually in May, end of May. So it doesn't seem like a real true apology. It feels very much like a blame on something else. And the fact that you're not copping to the fact that you were drunk driving, here we have a problem. Now, I don't know how drunk she was. I don't know if she was just one glass of wine under and there was enough that they consider, or two glasses or whatever, or was it 10 glasses? I don't know. I didn't feel like, it's so tough. Do you know how often I go out to dinner? We always Uber. Lance and I, when we go out on date night, we Uber because we know we're going to have a couple cocktails if we go out. If we know we're not drinking at all, we will drive. If we know that we're going to a 3-hour long event and we will have maybe one glass of wine, we will drive. You have to be very cautious about that, you know? I can't tell you how many times I go out to dinner and go out with friends or family or other people, work events, whatever, and I see people drinking and driving. Like, is this just like a thing that people do? They just think it's untouchable? I'm so confused. So I don't know with Karen Huger. I don't understand why these people don't have drivers, Ubers, et cetera, especially if you're a celebrity, especially if you know that this will potentially, you know, go out in public if something bad happens, your license will be revoked. Like, there's so many things that you could do in order to avoid this. It's just mind-blowing to me. You're driving a very, very expensive car. It's nighttime. You're feeling emotional and you're drinking. You drove strongly enough to go through a median, hit all these signs. It's not like you by mistake just tapped a car in front of you. Guys, we have to not drink and drive. And I understand there's a lot of people out there that are like, I don't want to ever take an Uber if I'm alone. Yeah, I get that. As a woman, a female at night, it is scary to get into an Uber. I do agree with that. I guess it's one of those things that you start to have to question, like, well, I can either do an Uber. Maybe you can do like an Uber and, you know, send the information to the person at home or whatever and make sure they're tracking you, be on a phone call the entire time. Maybe there's a way that you get a ride from someone you know, or just don't drink. If like all of those things are not options, right? It's really interesting. But I feel so bad that she went through that, but I also am like frustrated that she went through that. It's very hard to feel bad for someone that gets a DUI. And I understand accidents happen all the time, but I guess it depends. Like, how drunk was she? Was she Shannon drunk? Was she Shannon drunk who freaking slammed into another car? You know, I don't know. It was bad. It's bad. It's just that you can't really spin a DUI like in a positive way. There's no real way to spin it. There was just like this crazy story here in Los Angeles that was, it happened a few years ago. I want to say it happened in 2020. And it was in Westlake Village, which is a very nice neighborhood. Like, lots of very rich families live there. And this woman, she's like a very well-to-do socialite woman, married to a big attorney. I believe he's an attorney. I can't remember. Apparently, allegedly, was having an affair with this man, a tennis pro or athlete of some sort, and was driving home from lunch after having a couple cocktails, couple glasses of wine, so hammered or so fast, maybe not so hammered, but so fast and so carelessly that she drove through a crosswalk and she actually killed two boys crossing the street with her mom, who were exactly like my kids' ages now. When you think about this, like, you weigh the pros and cons, I mean, it's just unreal. Can you imagine? And now she's in jail. She just got to go to jail. Like, all the money in the world doesn't stop that. It doesn't protect you. Anyway, Karen, what's up, sister? You're the only one that I'm obsessed with on that cast. Literally, every time anyone asks me about Real Housewives of Potomac, I say the Grand Dom. Grand Dom is the only reason I watch that show. And I don't even really watch the show anymore, you guys. I'm two episodes behind and I don't know how to get back in. I feel so disconnected from Potomac. And I don't know how to like enter myself in. I turn it on and I find myself walking away. Not interested. Okay, finally, let's go into our final story, and that's a Lala and Ariana reunion. Lala was on Jeff Lewis yesterday. I don't know if any of you guys listened. I loved the interview. And she was talking a lot about, she was talking about getting pregnant. She was talking about that process. She was talking about getting her daughter into preschool. I'm pretty sure I know the preschool. She and Ocean and Summer Moon are both trying to get into the same preschool. I just wonder, for any other parents out here in LA, these Sherman Oaks parents that are going to end up at school with Lala and Sheena at birthday parties. Oh, by the way, I have a friend who lives in Montecito area, Summerland, Montecito. And her son is allegedly, she listens to the show, going to school with Archie, Megan and Harry's son, same class next year. And I'm like, ooh, but apparently Megan's never really seen out and about town. Harry's the only one that's really ever seen with the kids. And he's out and about, like walking on the beach and doing different things. So it's just so funny because, like, I have another friend whose kids are in class with Kim Kardashian's kids. And I think that it's so weird to be in class with these like celebrity kids. I don't have this year or this school that I'm in right now. I have no celebrity kids in my kids' classes, which I'm happy about. It's much easier and nicer. I know a lot of kids that are at that same school with Kim Kardashian who are, you know, huge NFL like stars and big celebrities, like really like music, you know, I want to say like, you know, Chris Brown's kids, like those kinds of like really big name type kids. I will get into the Kate story that I got because it's kind of related to all of this, but let's finish up with Lala and Ariana. So Lala was on Jeff Lewis and she was talking about the reunion, and she's not really able to say much except for the fact that there was a rumor that came out that said Ariana eviscerated Lala and its friendship ending. And Lala was on The Talk also this week, and she said, the show The Talk, and she said, the tweet was that Ariana eviscerated me and our friendship is over. One of those things are true, and I'll let you decide. Well, my gut feeling is that Ariana eviscerating Lala is not something that Lala would admit to. I just can't see Lala saying, yeah, she eviscerated me. But I can see her saying, our friendship is over. Jeff made some comments on the show about how Ariana, you know, got a little maybe too big for her britches or got a little ego coming into the season. And Lala didn't really necessarily deny or refute any of those questions. She kind of just agreed. And another thing that I felt like she agreed on was Katie Maloney. So Jeff said that he ran into Katie Maloney at the GLAAD Awards, and Katie kind of bit her tongue when she found out that Lala was going to be on the show. And Lala said, listen, I've known Katie for a really long time, and I'm really glad that we had that conversation in this week's episode, kind of making up. She also mentioned the fact that, well, Jeff said, Katie seems always pretty. No, someone called in. That's what happened. Someone called in and said, Katie seems always unhappy. She took the words out of our mouth. And she said, don't you think Ariana is going to have a hard time healing with Katie in her ear? And Lala said, I think that you have a really good perception. And I also think that when I was going through my breakup with Randall, I was stuck in a really bad place when I was friends with Katie. And when I kind of moved on from Katie, I found myself better. Jeff then went on and said, it's a very interesting thing when you're friends with people who are really negative and down and how it affects your own ability to be happy. We've all been there, right? You guys have all been there. Friends with the really down, negative Nancy type of person. And I've definitely had to cut ties. I call it toxic friendships from people who are just always seeing things in a bad light, because it's so hard to look at the bright side of things when you're always seeing things in a negative way. But I do think Katie Maloney is probably that person, that she just kind of, it's a misery loves company moment for her. And even though she did have some good points in this last week's episode, I do think that that's the case. My guess is that Ariana and Lala will no longer be friends after this. And Sheena ended up going out with Lala after the reunion. So it looks like Sheena probably chose Lala's side, which is true and should be because Sheena and Lala have kids growing up together. They can walk to each other's houses. They're much more in the same world. I cannot visually or like mentally imagine Sheena and Ariana being close. Their vibes and their energies are so different. You know what I mean? Aw, Debbie. Debbie says, thanks for not saying Debbie Downer. That sucks if your name's Debbie. If your name's Karen, if your name's Debbie. What's another one? I feel like there's some other ones like Nancy. Negative Nancy, Debbie Downer, and a Karen. Those are all tough. Anyway, I like Lala. You guys, I do feel for Ariana for what she went through, but Lala to me is so much more just like, I really am enjoying Lala this season. I also just find her so gorgeous. Maybe that's like throwing me a little bit. Felicia is another word, another name. Oh, Felicia's. Okay, so let's just wrap up by talking about my Kate Middleton DM that I got yesterday. I am not in any way trying to just create more drama, but this person I truly believe has a real source. She listens to my show every day and she told me her source, but she told me not to say her source. So I have the person's name who's the source. And it said that Kate Middleton was spotted at her kid's school performance with her hair up in a bun, not looking fancy in any way and not looking great, but as skinny as can be, where you can see the bones in her neck. She is really, truly gaunt, apparently, allegedly. She's super gaunt and she is struggling from the eating disorder is a real thing and the surgery all real. She also allegedly looked very unhappy, very uncomfortable and not warm with her own husband. So if that was the case, or if that's the case, then it just really aligns with the story that she is truly just recovering from a surgery and she's struggling still and in, you know, whatever. I got a lot of DMs from people saying, your information is false. Her kids are homeschooled. I'm telling you now I have two sources from two very separate people who know who's at the school. Her kids are in school. I don't know where people are getting the information that her kids are not at school. And maybe one of them is not at school, but two different people who don't know each other have both come to me with different stories from sources at the kids' school. Billy says, okay, at least she's alive. I agree at this point, but I'm not interested in Kate Gate anymore. It's so funny. It's like I got really obsessed with it over the last week, and now I feel very much like, okay, whatever. Okay, good. A lot of you guys are saying they're not homeschooled. Yes, they're not homeschooled. So y'all back off. My mean DMs. People are so mean in the DMs. It's crazy. What are you even talking about? You're so wrong, Donna. They are definitely at school. Those kids are not homeschooled. So back off. I should read you guys the mean DM I get every single day. Okay. I just got a text. I have a feeling Teddy will be back on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, even though nothing is confirmed and I did not just get a confirmation. You heard it here first. Okay, you guys, I hope you have an amazing rest of your Thursday. I can't believe we're already on Thursday. And I will talk to you later today on Patreon and tomorrow if we, the text was not from Teddy, Beth, but someone else. And I'll talk to you. Yeah, I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for loving on Daily Dose of Donna. It's an act of love, labor, hard work. I've lost friendships over it. I've lost everything for my love of Daily Dose. I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye, y'all.